Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, it's time for the states to take a stand. Abe Hamadeh, who's running for Attorney General of Arizona, joins us. And also, we talk about some of the declassified programs of the Central Intelligence Agency, COINTELPRO, Operation Mockingbird. If you don't know about them, you should. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by taking out your podcast app, typing Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. What is a dissident? A dissident is a person who opposes the official policy of a regime or that of an authoritarian state. You are a dissident. You have to start to think like a dissident in your own country. I know this is difficult, and this is one of the only disagreements I have with the repetition of saying there are more of us than there are of them. That is true. But it also, I think, is misleading in the sense of how are we supposed to think about our activism and think about our action? We are dissidents now. That is not something a lot of you are comfortable hearing. You don't want to hear as if you are in the minority in your own country, but you're actually, I do actually think there's more of us than them. That's not the point. The point instead is, do they control the institutions and what institutions do we control? So if we were to take an audit and I were to ask you, what institutions do we as conservatives, pro-American patriots control? Churches. What else? Kinda. Playcut 49. Marco Rubio was spectacular on this. Playcut 49.
I'm here in a very unique position in South Florida, surrounded by people that come from countries where this is familiar to them. This is shocking to Americans. But in Latin America and many of these, you know, countries around the world, here's what happens. A group takes power. One of the first things that group does is they begin to persecute and go after their political opponents. And then when the supporters of their political opponents begin to complain about it, they begin to target them and they criminalize opposition. And that's what's happening here now. The next step in this process is going to be that people who are supporters of Donald Trump or just conservatives complaining about this are going to begin to get harassed by, are going to begin to get labeled as potential insurrectionists and are going to begin to get harassed by law enforcement. That's the next step in this playbook, sadly.
That is the next step in this playbook. When you admit that you are a dissident, it can be terrifying, but also liberating. It's terrifying because you realize that the country you grew up in, the country that we love, is controlled by the opposition. We said this. I said this actually in my opening remarks at the Student Action Summit. They are the occupying force, and they act like one. I want to play another piece of tape here. You remember when Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine? Remember how angry Republicans were? Remember how upset they were? How fired up they were when Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine? Ukraine is not a state of the United States. Remember this? Senator Lindsey Graham, play cut 53.
There is no off-ramp in this war. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. And I hope and pray and do everything in my power to make sure Ukraine wins. And Putin is in charge of a state sponsor of terrorism. That designation needs to be given to Russia. He's earned that designation. We need to pour it on when it comes to helping Ukraine.
Jesse Waters calls him out for this, play cut 51.
Why they had to raid President Trump's home 90 days before an election.
Yeah, you know, and I love having you on, Lindsey. You know, you and I have debated about things, and I've seen you pretty spitting mad over Ukraine. But you don't seem as mad as you were about this than you've been mad about Ukraine. I don't understand why people aren't lighting their hair on fire. I don't understand why people aren't out in the streets. Yeah. This isn't like, oh, well, you know, let's just see what's in the warrant. I mean, they've been doing this. This is the third election. This is the third election. We know they evidence. We know they plant evidence.
Sure.
We know they hide evidence. We know they lie. We know they leak. I mean, this is not anything new. This has been years they've been doing this. We can't just say, oh, you know, we're waiting for the guy to come out and give a statement about what is predicated. I mean, what? These people are out of control, Senator. This country is at, like, we're on the edge of a cliff, man. I'm telling you, this country is at the edge of a cliff here.
Lindsey Graham doesn't agree with that. He's just kind of like, his head is like, oh, yeah, okay, okay. For him, it's all about the regime. It's not about the country. No, but if Vladimir Putin invades Ukraine, oh, man, it's all in. All in at every single corner and every single front. The Republican Party is not going to save us from this. We have to build up the Republican Party and draft precinct committee people and build grassroots support. Republican Party is not going to save us. Lindsey Graham, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess there's some things that might be not the way it should be. They're doing entire segments on MSNBC about indicting political opponents. Play cut 57.
There are fresh signs that Donald Trump is bracing for a possible indictment. His own lawyers planning for criminal charges and how to thwart or combat that possibility. A reality driven by two open probes in Washington and Georgia and the extensive January 6th hearings, which showed the evidence of crimes by insurrectionists and crimes building towards a wider coup conspiracy, including the involvement of Trump himself.
All they could possibly talk about. They are terrified at the prospect, at the potential of having their own record actually having to go up against voters. Terrified of it. That potentially they have to be held accountable. And so, look, the Democrats are playing with fire here. They have outsourced their authority to the administrative state. The administrative state has to be the focus of the Republican conservative movement over the next 6 to 9 months. The administrative state is unconstitutional. It's unelected. Most people don't know who they are, so they're unknown, with unchecked power. The fact they can swoop in the executive branch and take a phone of a congressman, Scott Perry, that is a violation of separation of powers, period. What crime is there? If you're going to arrest him, then arrest him. To swoop in and take somebody's cell phone? Never once did they grab Nancy Pelosi's cell phone, Eric Swalwell's. But it does beg this question, and it's one of the most important ones, which is how do you stop the administrative state? You stop it through serious state-level action, a restoration of the 10th Amendment. And boy, do we need a full court press if Republicans take back the House of Representatives and the Senate. I'll be honest, I am cynical. You know, we talk a lot about the Church and Pike Committee. The Church and Pike Committee was one of the most successful oversights of the intelligence agencies, because the intelligence agencies were just growing way out of control to oversee the FBI, the NSA, the IRS. The Church Committee was the Senate side. The Pike Committee was the House side. And they decided to go all in and actually do their job in the 1970s. It was largely after Nixon. Actually, it was during Nixon, wasn't it? Let me think about this. It was kind of during that whole era of, are we really happy with how powerful Washington, D.C. is? Most people don't even know the revelations that came out of it. How about Operation MK Ultra? What is that? It was a human experimentation program designed by the CIA to get people to give false confessions via brainwashing and psychological torture. MK Ultra used numerous methods to manipulate its subjects' mental states and brain functions, such as covert administration of high doses of psychoactive drugs and other chemicals. How about Operation COINTELPRO? It was a series of covert and illegal projects conducted by the FBI aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, and discrediting who? Domestic American political organizations. Was COINTELPRO ever disassembled? Is there now an equivalent of COINTELPRO now in the Federal Bureau of Investigation? In 1971, the FBI financed armed and controlled an extreme right-wing group of former members of the Minutemen anti-communist paramilitary organization, transforming it into the secret army organization, and targeted groups, activists, and leaders into the anti-war movement using both intimidation and violent tactics. Oh yeah, but the FBI won't plant any evidence. Most Americans don't know about Operation Mockingbird, Project Shamrock, Family Jewels. We're going to tell you about it. Most of your Republicans are clueless about this. Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped MyPillow become an amazing company and really honestly become what it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, great American, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now it's only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable, and they have a cold, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out today on this incredible offer. This is a limited-time supply, so make sure to order now. Go to 1-800-875-0425 now and use promo code Kirk, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, and they're known to sell quick, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. So, the CIA and the FBI and the IRS and the NSA, they were largely unchecked up until the Church and Pike Committee had oversight back in the 1970s, 1975. They revealed a series of shocking revelations, Operation MKUltra, COINTELPRO, and Operation Family Jewels, which was a CIA program to covertly assassinate foreign leaders. How about Operation Mockingbird, though? That's one that I want to focus on. Operation Mockingbird is a large-scale program that the CIA ran for many years. And by the way, I think Operation Mockingbird and Project Mockingbird is still being run by our intelligence agencies. So according to the documents, Operation Mockingbird recruited American journalists into a propaganda network and influenced the operations of front groups. The CIA's support of front groups was exposed in 1967. Reported that the National Student Association received funding from the CIA. In 1975, the Church Committee investigation revealed agency connections with journalists and civic groups. So Operation Mockingbird was all, and the Mockingbirds, of course, they echo each other, right? One says one thing and they say it back and back and back and back and back. The idea was to create a cacophony of similar sounding noise. Do we have any guarantees that a similar type of operation is still not underway right now? By the way, we know that big social media companies receive massive amounts of funding from the CDC and the FDA. We don't know if they receive money from the CIA or not, but you know the CIA has a $50 to $75 billion black box budget. Our Republicans never ask about the black box budget. Do you know what the black box budget is? No one knows. Just no oversight. Anywhere between $50 to $75 billion a year, and we don't know where that money goes. They don't have to show accounting for it because it's under classified national security. The Church and Pike Committee did a series of these investigations, also found Project Shamrock. Project Shamrock, by the way, this is in 1975. You don't think that they've upped their game a little bit since then? Project Shamrock was the sister project of Project Minaret. By the way, this is all on the internet. You guys could check it out. Enlighten yourself. Awaken yourself. Project Minaret involved the accumulation of all telegraphic data that was entered or exited the United States. Project Shamrock was an espionage operation that did the following. It didn't just accumulate all the data, but according to Stephen Budosky, the precursor of the project, said the following. The clandestine agreement, almost certainly illegal, set a precedent of wartime censorship. At the height of Project Shamrock, 150,000 messages were printed and analyzed of private communications via telegraph companies by NSA personnel in 1 month. You cannot have freedom without privacy. You cannot. If you are not able to have privacy, you are not free. If someone is constantly looking over your shoulder, Orwell described this best in 1984 in Animal Farm, that it is a necessary prerequisite. No freedom, no privacy, no freedom. A government that constantly monitors everything you do, you are not able to have liberty. How many of your Republican officials are talking about Operation Mockingbird, Operation COINTELPRO, Operation Shamrock, Operation Family Jewels? No. Because Lindsey Graham and all these others, Tim Scott, and all, they're defenders of that regime. And yeah, it was all kind of fun and cool when it was we're fighting terrorists abroad and whatever. But now they consider you to be the terrorist. They ran out of terrorists to hunt because it turns out there just weren't that many to find. Yeah, there were a lot of like pervert goat herders in the Kandahar Valley in Afghanistan, but it's a lot more interesting to actually go crush your domestic political opponents here. We're going to do a whole series of podcasts coming up about Operation MKUltra, COINTELPRO, Family Jewels, Operation Mockingbird, Project Shamrock. Some of the most important things that most of your Republican leaders are authorizing, they are aware of, they're in support of it. Most of your Republican leaders that you send to Washington, D.C., they would say, well, yeah, it's okay. We spy on people. Who cares?
Look, we know rates are inching up, and they're still historically low. But if you're tired of the high cost of renting, there's still time to buy a home. And I was just talking about this on our program. You got to buy. And by the way, you could always refinance. If you think rates are too high, you could always refinance. So go to andrewandtodd.com. They're the ones to contact right now to get you financing into your new home. They're not just mortgage brokers. They're lenders with Sierra Mortgage. They've been through multiple ups and downs and economic markets like you can imagine, just like the ones we're seeing today. So you just got to go to andrewandtodd.com. Whether you're considering owning versus renting or seeking a safer haven for your family in a new state, now's the time to get a pre-approved loan to give you the edge over other buyers. I know Andrew and Todd. They're great Americans. We hang out together. They love the Lord. They're great people. So just go to andrewandtodd.com. Do not wait. Get your pre-approved loan today while rates are still historically low. And by the way, again, some of you might say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to wait for the rates to go, you know, down and all this. Okay, well, then what if the property is worth twice as much in 3 years because there's so many dollar bills out there? AndrewandTodd.com. AndrewandTodd.com can guide you through all of this. And remember, you can always refinance. So go to AndrewandTodd.com.
We are very worried about the overreach of the federal government. And Arizona is a beachhead. It all goes through Arizona. It is the front lines on every single level. We've been talking about how attorney generals better start acting soon and enforcing the rule of law against these criminals, the cartels, these far-left activists. The nominee for the Republican Party in the wonderful state of Arizona, Trump endorsed and endorsed by Rand Paul, is Abraham Hamada. Abe, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Abe Hamada, but close enough, Charlie.
Oh, okay. Well, I did my best. So tell us about your campaign.
Well, it's been a rocket ship since we received the endorsement of President Trump on June 14th. But, you know, so far, you're exactly right. Just listening to your segments on the show, and this is quite unusual times that we're living in. You know, typically we've been fighting only the federal government, but right now we're fighting basically the radical left has infiltrated every aspect of our lives. I mean, now we have to fight big tech. I mean, if you remember back in February, when GoFundMe was going to use that money that was donated to the Canadian truckers, who stopped them from doing that? It was state AGs who stopped GoFundMe from sending that money to radical leftist organizations. So this is unusual times where we have to fight back, not just the federal government, but even big business and big tech who can become as tyrannical as government. So, you know, my opponent that I'm going up against, Chris Mays, she's going to be funded by George Soros. She was funded previously by Tom Steyer. Michael Bloomberg is going to make a big push for gun control. So this is who we're going up against, Charlie. So this is very worrisome. But luckily, Arizona has many good candidates. And I think we're going to be the leaders of the America First movement across the country right here in Arizona.
Tell us about your biography. It's rather compelling.
Yeah. So actually, you know, my family came here. I was born in Chicago, unfortunately, but I've been in Arizona since I was 5 years old. But my family came from Syria 30 some odd years ago. And like every immigrant, you know, they came to the big city and they had no money, no education or anything. But, you know, they randomly wound up in Arizona. My father, he won the lottery. It wasn't life changing. It was like $50,000, but included a stay at the Scottsdale Princess.
Well, so he resort. Actually won the lottery.
Yeah, it was like $50,000 okay. For an immigrant. That's a ton of money, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then he stayed at the Scottsdale Princess Resort. And as soon as they landed, this was January of like 1996. As soon as they landed at Sky Harbor, they looked at each other and they said, wow, we found the Middle East of America. So it was a quite easy decision for them to move out here. And, you know, I really credit Arizona is really the it's such a new state in the sense that someone like myself can get into politics. We're not, you know, entrenched with the same establishment, say, in the East Coast. You know, sure, we had to battle some of the establishment opponents, but it's a lot easier barrier of entry to get into. So, you know, I credit a lot of my success to Arizona. But besides that, I'm a former prosecutor at the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. I'm also a former Army captain and intelligence officer, and I was deployed to Saudi Arabia for 2020 and 2021. But I did enter this race in November of 2021. I was the last candidate to enter, and, you know, we crushed our opponents. I think I was leading my next closest rival by 10%. So, you know, we're going to take the same energy, the same message, same movement all the way till November to defeat Chris Mays, because what the Democrats offer, Charlie, I mean, I'm just amazed how they're even, you know, these policy positions, defunding the police. Now they're suddenly saying that they never said that, but they spent the last 2 years gaslighting us, you know, talking about defunding the police and, you know, reimagining how law enforcement should work. But, you know, we're going to remind the voters on what dystopian vision they want to inflict on us.
I mean, a strong attorney general is one of the most important things we could have right now. So let me ask you about two things in particular, first of which is federal government overreach. What would you be willing to do, for example, with a deluge of IRS agents that might come into Arizona? How would you reassert constitutional state sovereignty against the federal government coming in to terrorize us Arizonans?
You're exactly right. And, you know, this 87,000 new IRS agents, we have to look at, you know, who it's going to be targeting. It's really going to be targeting minority groups primarily. Minorities are actually subject to audits at a higher percentage than whites. So that's the message that we're going to take to the Hispanic community and Black community as well. But as AG, it's the same way that we, you know, we fought the vaccine mandates that they were pushing on us too, and as well as the mask guidelines that took too long to get rid of. So the state AG, you know, across the country, we have special jurisdiction that allows us to sue the federal government in federal court. So that's what we're going to be looking at tackling. But you're exactly right about state sovereignty, which I'm so, you know, excited to hear that so many candidates this year are using that term. You know, I got involved in politics, Charlie, way back in 2007 on the Ron Paul campaign. And I remember so many of the issues that, you know, we were fighting back then have now come to fruition. I mean, we were called conspiracy theorists back then. But if you're looking at the state sovereignty, it's not just reclaiming it with regarding to, you know, the police powers, right, or the vaccine mandates or these IRS agents. But if you're seeing our border, I mean, our border, to me, it's a state sovereignty issue. The fact that the federal government has totally neglected to do its job, that's where Arizona, under Carrie Lake and myself, we're going to start taking the fight back to D.C. and start reestablishing Arizona's sovereignty and protect the communities. Because what goes on down at the border isn't just affecting Yuma or Tucson or our border communities. It's affecting all of Arizona, but all of the country as well. So, you know, that's something that I think I want to hone in on, the fact that other states that are paying attention. You know, Arizona is a key battleground state, not just because it was, you know, purple or whatever, but it's because the elections, it's because of our border. So, you know, all eyes are going to be on Arizona. So it's a big responsibility that we have to tackle. But you're exactly right. The state AGs, we have to be the tip of the spear fighting back against this lawless administration. Because, you know, I always, you know, people ask me, what are your priorities? It always changes, to be quite honest, because the Biden administration keeps ambushing us. Who would have ever thought that the FBI would be raiding the former president's house? And if you're seeing what the New York Attorney General is doing, Letitia James, going after President Trump, I mean, President Trump's one of the most persecuted men in history. And it's very apparent this week that what we're witnessing. But as AG, we have to have a strong AG who respects the law. And that's exactly what these George Soros prosecutors and what the radical left has eroded.
So I want to play a piece of tape here, Cut 63. This just goes to show how the media is going about to criminalize Trump supporters. Cut 63, it's Operation Mockingbird in full effect. Play Cut 63.
Tell ABC News, there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremists and QAnon-related forums.
Sources say there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and QAnon-related forums.
Sources also telling ABC News there's been a strong reaction from some extreme groups online, including QAnon and other groups.
There's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and
QAnon-related forums,
including those that were active before January 6th.
Including those that were active prior to January 6th.
Including those that were active prior to January 6th.
Involved in the January...
They're all saying the same thing, Abe. They're all trying to criminalize Trump supporters and just normal everyday Americans. Abe, I live in Scottsdale, and I was stopped multiple times yesterday by just regular people that are pissed about this raid of Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Expand on that a little bit more, your thoughts.
You're exactly right, Charlie. You know, on day one, when Joe Biden took office, I was overseas with the army in Saudi Arabia. But I remember on day one, we actually got a briefing that said that right-wing extremism is the number one threat facing the U.S. military. So this has gone into the U.S. military as well, Charlie, this narrative. So, you know, when I got back here, look at what the Biden administration does. They classify parents who speak at a school board meetings against critical race theory as possible domestic terrorists. If you donate money to the Canadian truckers to oppose the COVID hysteria, you're a possible domestic terrorist. They want to crush any dissenting viewpoints. And that's exactly what's so terrifying. And that's what I mean by saying, you know, if you look at the media, those clips you just put, that they've become the propaganda arm of the radical left. And that's exactly what the media is. And the big tech is also plays a big role in that, as well as big business. So, you know, this is unusual times that we're facing, and it really requires men and women with convictions who are going to stand up, who are unafraid to speak their minds. But, you know, as AG, when I take over, we're going to look at ways to start going after big tech. We have to start going after and protecting our parents who are speaking out at school board meetings, because now even elementary school students are being subjected to this radical leftist thought. So, you know, as Attorney General and along with Governor Carrie Lake, we have a lot on our hands. But I do see what happens this November will determine our country's future for the next century.
Probably. One of the things about your campaign that struck me is that you're willing to go after the cartels in a very serious way.
Yep.
You're willing to classify them as a foreign terrorist organization. Is that right? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but can you tell us about that?
That's exactly right. So we need to kill the cartels. And under current Arizona law, we use the U.S. Department of State's definition of what a terrorist is. And the U.S. Department of State has been politicized. The Yemen Houthi rebels who were firing missiles at us when I was in Saudi Arabia were delisted by Joe Biden as a terrorist organization, which is why the Saudis are not very happy with him. So in Arizona, we have the ability to know what these groups are. And I want to start calling them what they are. They're terrorist organizations. And with that, we have enhanced sentencing on them. We can also seize their assets differently. So we're going to get tough with the terrorists, the cartels, and classify them as terrorists, because right now they do have control of the border. And we have to negotiate with the Mexican government, even some of our Native American communities as well, that we have to start securing our border at the state level because the federal government refuses to act.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Would you be willing then to go after some of these nonprofit groups that are aiding and abetting the illegal entry of people into our country? For example, if you go to San Luis, you go to the suburb, exterior of the Yuma area, they are criminally assisting people with money, with reconnaissance. Are you, as Attorney General, willing to go after these nonprofit groups that are helping the illegal migration? I want to call it migration, border jumping, invasion, and line cutting into our country.
Absolutely. And you're exactly right when you're talking about, I mean, there's businesses that are involved with this too. I mean, the cartels, they're a sophisticated operation. That's why I want to call them a terrorist organization. I mean, some of them have more money than many countries' GDP, but you're exactly right. We have to go after some of these they cloak themselves in nonprofits, but I mean, the same with Mark Zuckerberg when he was doing with interfering in our elections. That's the workaround they try to do, but we're going to get aggressive, not only with the cartels, but anybody who is assisting them as well. So, you know, looking at border communities, that's going to be our primary focus right now. I just received endorsement today of Sheriff Mark Lamb, who's a great sheriff in Pinal County, who has to deal with the corridor of crossings of these illegal immigrants. But, you know, you're right to say that this is an invasion. I've been saying that it's not even a crisis. It's a disaster, Charlie. I mean, when you have 160 countries represented who are flocking our border, only 6% of those who are crossing our border are Mexican citizens, by the way. I mean, most of these are coming from all over the world. They just openly flaunt our law. So we have to get aggressive. We have to get tough at the state level.
Yeah, I mean, this is important. Going after the nonprofit support structure of what's happening on the invasion, that's kind of the third rail. Right. And if you're saying you're willing to look at the money flows, I mean, you think about it, human trafficking, fentanyl, guns, we know all of it. But there is a 501c3 NGO, sometimes federally granted supported infrastructure in San Luis and in Yuma and in Tucson and the Hollis sector that actually assist and subsidize the invasion. And that's fair game for an Arizona attorney general to go after. So I'm pleased to hear that you'd be willing to do it. Of course, lawfully and, you know, doing it ethically. All right. So let me ask you a couple questions here. You have your website, abeforag.com. And boy, your opponent is a total disaster. It's just awful. We need people to consolidate behind you and to get you elected. So there's other issues, too, that you have on your website: pro-life, election protection, border security, cancel culture, war on police, Second Amendment, military mental health crisis. So talk about election protection. A lot of people don't trust our elections here in Arizona. What will you do as attorney general to ensure election integrity?
Well, and they're actually rightfully so to question our elections. Look what just happened in Pinal County. I mean, that was a total disaster, Charlie. And this is years after, you know, the 2020 election, when they spent the whole, you know, past 2 years calling us fringe and conspiracy theorists. But look what just happened in Pinal County. I mean, that is voter disenfranchisement right there. When you're seeing, that's a civil rights violation in my view, when they're not able to vote at the polls. And it was primarily affecting Republicans. But as attorney general, this is where we have to have a good secretary of state as well, with Mark Fincham there too. So we have to work, you know, hand in hand by having, because the secretary of state has a big role in elections as well. But as attorney general, what we have to do is prosecute these crimes. But there has to be consequences for some of these actions. I know the Pinal County elections had just resigned, but I mean, think about it. If this was in the business sector, I mean, they would lose their job. I mean, this is pretty, you know, bad stuff what's going on. But for the 2020 election, yep, what I've called for is to actually, you know, investigate, pick up where Brnovich is going to leave off. I don't have much confidence that he's going to prosecute any more crimes that we witnessed. But, you know, something that I focus on as well, when I voted in the 2020 election, Charlie, overseas on my deployment, and I voted by email. And I think Arizona is one of three states that allowed that for military members.
You could vote by email?
Right. I actually had to print out my ballot from a computer, take a photo of it, and then email it to the county recorder's office.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
Yeah. Everything, right? And supposedly what happens is that it gets then transferred to a legitimate ballot with a Republican and Democrat watching over it. But at the time, who would really trust that Adrian Fontes would have done the right thing? I don't. So that's something I want to work with
so
the legislature by getting rid of the
Would you investigate voting. The mules and the ballot trafficking operation that there's evidence to show occurred?
Yes. And I've already called for, you know, the release of the evidence that was on full display in the 2000 Mules documentary. I mean, in Maricopa County alone, there's 200 mules. In Yuma County, there's plenty. So, you know, those are probably low level offenders, but that's how any investigation starts. You go after the low level offenders and you work your way up to the top of the criminal enterprise that you've discussed earlier with these nonprofits. That's how you do this investigation. So that's why you have to be committed to going after even the low level offenders, because eventually they'll talk. And I do think that this was a criminal enterprise organization that was going on. If you look at the San Luis, I mean, that was a former mayor, right, who is complicit in that. So as attorney general, we will take the election fraud very seriously, and we have to have a bulletproof election system so that when Donald Trump runs and wins against in 2024, everyone will know it's legitimate.
Yeah, the ballot trafficking operation is just awful, and it's terrible. Closing, Abe, your website is abe4ag.com. Where do you stand on the legalization of marijuana?
In Arizona, it's already legal in Arizona. So that passed in 2020. So, you know, I respect the law, and that's the current law of the land right now.
Yeah, it's just kind of a pet issue for me. They're building a marijuana clinic, or whatever they call it, a get high house or whatever in Scottsdale. Drives me crazy. So I think that's more.
There's plenty of them around.
Yeah, and I think they should all be shut down. But that's a separate issue for another time. AbeForAG.com. And I just want to reemphasize this point. Can't overstate this enough. With Carrie's agenda and how aggressively conservative she wants to be, we cannot afford to lose the AG race. And
right.
So, Abe, keep up the great work. We're behind you, and stay focused. And you're welcome on the show anytime. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.